Hey, good morning, everyone at Christchurch Yule. I am just trying to share my screen with you, and we will get started on our subject, the prophets. There we go. Hope you can see all that. We're going to basically look at the prophets today. Now, there were about 1,000 years worth of prophets from Moses to Malachi, so we can't achieve a great lot in about 20 or so minutes. But I want to ask some basic questions this morning, and hopefully it will speak to us. First basic question, well, what's a prophet? Not something you make with money. Well, first of all, I want to just basically say that a prophet is someone who hears what God says and then speaks out what God says. It's that simple in many ways. They were God's messengers. They were commissioned by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent by God, and they were, in a sense, like that megaphone, God's mouthpiece. They were proclaimers and they were preachers. So that's what they did. But not only did they hear and say what God was saying, they also referred back, as you can see in the third picture, to what God has already said in his word. In his written word, they would almost, if you like, hold up the Bible and say, well, this is what God has said in his covenant, which was an agreement between God and his people. And we too today live in many ways under God's written word. But I want to just say one other thing too about prophets, in that they were more forth-tellers than foretellers. What I mean by that is they weren't really so much about talking about the future. Although prophecy does have things about the future in it, the general emphasis was to the people directly around them at the time. You know, what is God saying and thinking about the present situation? It's in order to make people change now, to repent and change now. By considering the future, the whole emphasis is to have faith and obey God now. It's not intended that they might just gaze off into the future from a sort of detached sort of way. It's intended to affect the person in the present. And that's very important. Prophets always wanted a response to God. The other thing to say about the prophets, a bit of quick background here, is in the ancient world, there were treaties made by kings and their subjects. And if you broke your terms of the treaty, the king would send an emissary or an ambassador to warn you of the consequences of breaking your commitment. He would also talk about the blessings you could have, but he would warn you. And that's what prophets were. They were sent by God, the king, to warn the people that they were breaking the treaty, the agreement between God and his people. And here's something else about prophets that not everybody often realizes. They were people of prayer. There's a challenge. They were intercessors. They didn't just bring God's word, but they brought God's response to the people and the people's response to God. They weren't sort of neutral and detached, coldly delivering a message, but they really prayed for their people and carried them on their hearts and wept for them. And a sign of a false prophet had an inability to intercede and pray because he didn't really care about the people. So there's a challenge. If you're truly of God, you will want to pray for those in your care. The other quick thing to say about prophets is they did some strange things. I call them shock tactics. Sometimes they were quite sarcastic. Do you remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel when he was going up against the god called Baal, a false god? And he mocked this false god and said, because the false god wasn't doing anything, he said, well, he's probably on the toilet, relieving himself. I mean, he mocked their God. And it was designed to shock them because the prophets knew the people were in real danger and they needed waking up. Jeremiah, for instance, would use quite vivid picture language. He likened Israel to a donkey in heat. You know, a sexually aroused donkey running after lovers. It was quite shocking language to say to Israel, you're unfaithful like a donkey in heat. I mean, the whole point was to shock them into realizing that they were going down the wrong path. And sometimes prophets would do strange drama reenactments. Now, in that picture there, you can see the prophet Ezekiel. And he's made a model of the city of Jerusalem. That's meant to be Jerusalem. And he's lying next to it with a steel plate between him and the city. And it's a picture enacted. And people would look at him and say, what are you doing, Ezekiel? That's just weird. And he would say, well, I'm representing God. And there's a separation between me and you in the city of Jerusalem. Your sin has separated you from your God. And it would speak to people with these shocking reenactments. Jeremiah once wore the yoke of an oxen on his shoulders and walked around with that, telling people they had to submit to the yoke of the king of Babylon. And Isaiah, I mean, this is probably the most shocking, Isaiah wandered around the city naked. Now, why did he do that? It was because he was wanting to tell them that shame was coming if they did not repent and turn back to God. So, that's something about the prophets. What's the big aim? One big aim that any prophet might have. Well, in that picture there, you can see a saucepan boiling. I don't know what you're like at cooking. I'm not very good. But I often have let saucepans boil dry. And why am I saying this? Well, the prophets sometimes would boil things down. They would simplify God's complex sets of laws into simple phrases. So, for instance, we know that there's roughly 613 laws in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Well, the prophets would sometimes boil these things down to what is really key so that the people could grasp it. And that's what we read in Micah. Vicky read the verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Which is our key verse for today. Micah boiled it down. He said this, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So three things, justice, mercy, humility. He boiled it down, and prophets often boiled down things so that they got hold of some key core concepts. Moses even did it. Moses said in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13, he says, now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, love him, serve the Lord with all your heart, observe the Lord's commands. So he boiled it down to five in his saucepan. Although the last one, observe all the Lord's commands, kind of covers everything anyway. This is what prophets would sometimes do. And Jesus, who is the ultimate prophet of all and the Son of God, he boiled down all of God's commands into two. He really went to the bottom of the saucepan, did Jesus? He said there are two great commands. The first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he, Jesus, our God and the Son of God, reduced it down to two. But why were they doing this? Why did they try and simplify things? Well, they were basically trying to remind God's people that it's not really about ticking the boxes and following all the regulations and following the rules. It's really more about you having a relationship centered on God. Having God at the center of your life. Let me just show you a picture of the earth going around the sun a moment. You know, in the old days, a philosopher called Plato, they thought that the sun revolved around the earth. You know, that's what they thought. They thought that we were the center of everything. And then along came a Dutch guy called Copernicus. And he said, no, you're wrong. The earth rotates around the sun. The sun is at the center. We are not. And that's really what the prophets are doing. They are reminding the people through all the various laws. They boil them down to say, look, your life is to be a commitment to God at the center of your life by love and humble submission. Put God first, and all these other things will fall into place. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. You see, God first. That is really what they're saying. Put God at the center. But also, there's a very other important aspect to the message of a prophet. And that is that we are to show love to other people too. Justice and compassion. And in my little picture there, you've got the moon as well as the earth. The moon could represent other people. Don't forget other people. You see, God was very, very worked up about if people were not showing compassion to others, if they were not showing justice. And that's what Micah said in his verse, you know, to show justice as well as and mercy, as well as walking humbly with your God. So that's why they boiled it all down. God first, and to love other people and show justice. Who were the prophets? Who were they? Well, here's a surprise. Most of them, we don't know who they were. There were a large number of them, but a lot of them do not have any names in the Bible. It just says sometimes God sent a man. And for you ladies out there, some good news. Some of the prophets were women. Some very important ones. And they are named. Deborah was a lady prophet. Miriam, Moses' sister, was a prophet. And there was also a lady called Huldah, the prophetess. And some didn't have books named after them. I mean, you get prophets like Elijah and Elisha. They appear in the Bible, and Nathan, but there is no book written about them. And I want to encourage you that you may not be famous, you may not be known, but you're still very, very significant to the Lord. People may not have written books about you with your name on the cover, but God has a plan and wants to use you significantly, like he used these unnamed anonymous prophets. In terms of the books of the Bible, the prophets, we have three major prophets. They're only called major because they're big, big books. And I have not included Daniel here because Daniel is part of the English Bible, and Daniel is obviously scripture. But in the Hebrew Bible, he is put among the writings, not the prophets. So I'm not going to put Daniel there now, although many of us would say Daniel is a prophet, of course. But Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they're the three biggies, major prophets. But then you've got 12 other books that are quite small, and they're called the minor prophets, or the Book of the 12. And there they are on your screen. Now, they're not called minor prophets because they're not important. They're very important. They're called minor prophets because the books were very small. The books were short. I love a quote I once heard, which said this. It said, minor prophets had major messages. And again, it's the same for you and I. If God has called you to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, just because you may feel small or your role is not that great in the eyes of the world, you are significant to God, and God wants to use you and speak through you. Okay, let's just look at some examples of a few prophets. I've got to be quick because of time. But we're looking at some prophets from the Northern Kingdom when the Kingdom of Israel was split. The North became known as Samaria, and the South became known as Judah. And this fellow called Elijah, he was around in the 9th century BC. And Elijah, he's found in 1 Kings chapter 18, particularly. But his name means Yahweh is my God. And that's really, really important because he turned people back to God. That was his main job. His main job was to bring about repentance, bringing people back to God. And his name was Yahweh is my God. And there's a picture of him going up against the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Some people think that Elijah portrays John the Baptist. John the Baptist was very similar in the New Testament. He was a prophet or a preacher, a prophet of repentance as well. So repentance is a theme that comes through the life of Elijah. After Elijah, there was a man called Elisha, and his name means God saves. Isn't that wonderful? It means salvation. So after repentance, a real turning away back to God and turning from sin, you come salvation. And Elisha did many miracles very similar to Jesus. Did you know that the name Jesus means God saves too? And Elisha and Jesus are pretty similar, because Elisha fed many, many people. Elisha raised the dead. Elisha healed the sick, just like Jesus. So we have two themes coming through here, repentance and salvation. Let's move on to the 8th century. I'm doing a very whistle-stop tour through some prophets today. Amos, he was around in the 8th century, again in the Northern Kingdom. And before I explain that rather strange photo on the screen, I want to tell you that at that time, Israel was very prosperous. It was peaceful. It was secure. They had money. But underneath, under the surface, there was corruption. The poor people were being exploited. People were suffering. God was angry. Social injustice, exploitation of the poor. And people who were rich were thinking, well, I'm blessed. God's given me money. They didn't care how they got the money, by trampling on the poor. And Amos came and he challenged it and said, you're not holy underneath. There's no holiness underneath. It's all a veneer. It's all outward show. And Amos said that when they did their religious rituals, it was all outward show, and it stank in God's nostrils. It really stank in God's nostrils. So why have I put a picture like that on my screen today? Well, I want to tell you about a time when I used to work in the buildings management industry as a facilities manager. And I had to deal with a property which looked fine on the outside. But when you took away the plaster or the render, underneath the whole thing was rotten. There had been something called Death Watch beetle eating all the wood. And you can see a picture of one of those little critters down in the corner there. The whole thing was rotten underneath, and it had to all be dealt with and radically changed. And this was the message of Amos. He was saying that underneath, there's no holiness. It's just false veneer. And so another theme that comes through the prophets is the need, God's requirement that we be holy through and through, under the surface, and not just on the surface only. Another prophet from the 8th century in the Northern Kingdom was Hosea. Now, Hosea, he had, you know, a lot of quite a challenge, because he was told by God to marry an unfaithful prostitute. Now, as far as I know, God's only ever done that once to somebody in history. But this unfaithful woman broke Hosea's heart. And Hosea experienced God's pain for the unfaithfulness of Israel. And Hosea is a lovely picture of God's heart, because Hosea went and got the prostitute. Her name was Gomer. He went and got her back and forgave her. It was very costly. He had to pay for her to come back. And pay redemption money to get her back. And it shows God's tenderness, God's desire to forgive, and God's desire for intimacy and relationship with his people. And that's another theme that comes through the prophets, intimacy. I won't stop long on these three, but Isaiah. Isaiah is a huge prophet in the Bible. And he has a great vision of the holiness of God in chapter 6, again, holiness. But one of the main things of Isaiah is trust. Trust. He keeps telling the people, you're not trusting God. You need to trust him. Stop trying to make alliances with Egypt. Stop trying to make silly military alliances with Assyria. Trust in the Lord your God. And Isaiah, of course, points towards Christ, because in chapter 53, we get a picture of the cross of Jesus, the suffering servant. Micah is the one that was read today. One of Micah's great themes is justice. Again, don't forget the people around you. Show justice to the people around you. And Micah also had a vision of God ruling over all the nations. And Jeremiah, a wonderful prophet, he really had to pay a price, because one of his big jobs was to warn people. They're breaking the covenant. Warn them. And he would often warn them with tears. And sometimes God will warn us through his word and his gospel. Okay, let's just look briefly at what do prophets always say, because sometimes they say very similar things. We're coming towards the end of our sort of message now. Well, one thing that nearly all the prophets seem to say is to tell the people to remember that God is on the throne. Do you remember Isaiah when he saw in chapter 6 the Lord? He said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up upon a throne." God is on the throne. And in one of the prophetic books, God says that even the great empire, Assyria, which seems such a powerful military superpower, God says it's like a stick in my hand. I will use it for a while to chastise the nations, but then when I'm done with it, I'll throw the stick away. And that's what happened to the empire of Assyria. God used it for a while and then he threw it away. The empire disappeared. God, remember, God is in control. Another thing that comes through the prophets is the truth that, remember, God cares about justice, especially the defenseless, the widows, the orphans, the landless, the homeless, the immigrants, the refugees. God cares about the politics, whether they were being just or not. The taxation, the processes in the law courts, God cares. He doesn't just want people to spiritually sit in a corner, but to care about how people are being treated. Another great thing which came through the reading that the children did today. Wasn't that amazing, that Bible reading today? But one thing the prophets say is, remember your history. Remember where you've come from. Remember how I got you out of Egypt. And the kind of, and it's like saying, why are you being unfaithful when I've done so much for you? Remember what I've done for you. People are very forgetful, aren't they, on how good God has been to them in the past. We read this morning, or the children read, it says, has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of the fire as you have? And then it talks about all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He made you hear his voice. It says he showed you his great fire. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength to bring you into their land and give you an inheritance as it is today. So remember your history. And that's good advice for a Christian. When we're feeling down and depressed, tempted to go into sin, remember what the Lord has done for us. And one other main thing that they all seemed to say was, remember your commitment. You know, some of the Israelites, they weren't committed anymore. They weren't obeying God. They promised they would obey God, and they were failing. And so there's a call to come back. When God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, it was like a wedding ceremony in many ways. It was like a wedding ceremony. They had to say, I do, and God said, I do. And the prophets called them back to that commitment. And here's a big thing that prophets do. Warnings. We don't always like warnings, but they had to bring warnings to the people. I want you to imagine that you step outside the church at Christ Church Ewell. I know we can't meet there at the moment, but you step outside and I shout at you, there's a car coming. You're going to be run over. Now, as I'm being a prophet, I'm telling you something that's going to happen. Now, if you listen to me and listen to my warning, you act upon it, then the prophetic prediction doesn't happen and my message is successful. If you ignore me, then the prophetic prediction does happen. You get run over, kersplat, and my message was unsuccessful. And that's often how the prophets were. They would say, predict something, and then if the people listened, then it wouldn't happen. Think of Jonah. Jonah went to the city of Nineveh and he said, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But then the people repented and it didn't happen. Was Jonah a false prophet? No. Was he a successful prophet? Yes. Even though what he said was going to happen didn't happen. Because what I'm trying to say to you is the warnings are conditional. If you obey, it won't happen. But if you don't obey, it will happen. They're always conditional. My last or second to last slide. Prophets often spoke about the situation mostly around them at the time. But often they would look forward to Christ. They would point forward to Christ's first coming. And prophets always had hope beyond judgment and disaster. There was always hope. And they would often look forward to Jesus coming as well. And a bit like the third mountain peak in the distance, they would often sometimes also look ahead and see the return of Christ, you know, when Christ finally comes back on the day of judgment. So although they were talking about the situation and calling for a response now, they often would see hope in the future. As I said, Christ is the ultimate prophet. How can we apply all of this to us today? This is my final slide. How can we apply the message of the prophets? Well, I want to say to you that the message of the prophets is extremely challenging. God requires that we put him first. Okay? God requires that we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we show justice and compassion to other people. God requires that we are holy through and through. We are holy underneath. We're not just religious on the surface. We're not just an outward show. God requires that we are people of prayer, like the true prophets were. God requires that we trust him, like Isaiah told the people. He requires that we think God is in control. So it's a quite a tall order, isn't it? You know, we're not very good at doing this sort of stuff. But I want to just finally encourage you that the difference is we have Jesus, Jesus within us to help us. And this is what I want to leave with you this morning. You can be all that God wants you to be through Christ. If you depend on Jesus and cling to Jesus and let Jesus do it through you, you can become what God wants you to be. And you see that picture there? There's a boy being carried up a mountain by his daddy. We don't have to climb the mountain ourselves. We get a piggyback. We get a piggyback on the back of Jesus. Jesus takes us up the mountain of God's requirements. He helps us put God first. He helps us love our neighbor. It's through Christ in us. You can be carried up the mountain by our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to live in you. And that is why I want to finish with this final song, which is a song called Yet Not I, But Christ in Me. Because it's through Christ that all these things become possible. It's not all your sweat and effort. And if anyone would like prayer after the service, please search up our website, Christchurch Ewell, and you'll find our contact details there. Okay, so let me just pray and then we'll sing. Lord, I thank you that you speak through the prophets. It's a very tall order. It's a great call to return to covenant faithfulness to our God, to repent and to put you first. Lord, but we thank you that we don't do it alone. We have Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We need a Saviour, Lord. We need a Saviour, and the prophets pointed to that. And thank you that you are our Saviour. Help everyone at Christ Church Ewell to climb that mountain for you through the Christ that lives within them. In Jesus' name, amen.